With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with thee before I suffer. With desire have I desired. What does that now indicate? It means I have greatly desired. It signifies I have heartily desired. Jesus spoke these words when John and Peter had prepared the last Passover. And when all things were made ready and the hour was come, then Jesus sat down with his 12 apostles, says the Bible, and then he spoke these words. With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with thee before I suffer. This would be the final Old Testament Passover. But it would also be the first time that the Holy Supper would be administered, for in that same night the Lord instituted that sacrament. The Passover looked back to Israel's deliverance from Egypt, but it also pointed forward in the Old Testament to that Lamb of God, Christ, who would yet have to be slain. That was Jesus' own bitter suffering and death. The New Testament was a sacrament that looked back upon the finished sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. But it also taught the people of God that in all the succeeding ages, he still desires to eat his Passover with his people, that they should do this in remembrance of him who had given his life and who had shed his blood. So Jesus greatly, heartily desired to eat his Passover before that he would suffer. He desired to have communion with his living church. He desired to give this ordinance for the New Testament congregation. He wished to strengthen the faith of all his true disciples. And to this day, that word of Christ still holds force. With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with thee before I suffer. And now in the New Testament it is then, with desire do I still desire to eat this Holy Supper, this New Testament Passover, with all my people. That is my command of love. What is now the fruit of that great desire of the Savior? What flows forth from his desire? That he, by his Spirit and word, will work in the heart of his people a desire likewise, that they receive a longing for him, that they may eat that bread and drink that wine spiritually, that they may have communion and be partaker of Christ and all his benefits, that they may taste in their soul that his body is meat indeed, and that his blood is drink indeed. Oh, that he stirs up in their heart a yearning for tasting his love. And come, congregation, then in this evening, we wish to speak about that desire in the heart of God's children, as we find it as a desire in the spiritual bride. we go to the first chapter of the Song of Solomon. And there we read the second verse. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. So here we have the desire of the spiritual bride. The desire of the spiritual bride. First, why she desires. Second, what she desires. And third, how she desires. So first, why she desires. Next, what she desires. And finally, how she desires. This book begins with the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's Song of Songs. That means that it is a most excellent song. We read earlier in the Bible that Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs, and of songs he made 1,005. But among all those songs of Solomon, there is only one that is called the Song of Songs. When this same king, this wise preacher, speaks about vanity, and he wants to show how utterly empty vanity is, he calls it vanity of vanities. All is vanity. When the ark was placed in the tabernacle, it was not in the court, not in the holy place, but in the holy of holies, so the most holy place. When Canaan, the grandson of Noah, mocked his grandfather who had sinned, we do not cover that up. Then he received a curse. And the curse was that a servant of servants would he be to his brethren. So again, the same words used double to show even more how awful and how despised he would be. And therefore, when we read here the Song of Songs, it is a most beautiful and most excellent song. And it is the song which is Solomon's. The Holy Spirit inspired Solomon to write this book in the Bible. But it also means it is about Solomon. And Solomon then clearly becomes a type of the greater Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the glory of the earthly Solomon, his majesty, his royal dignity, his power, that is but small, that pales into insignificance compared to that glorious, gracious, merciful, powerful, rich, and majestic, greater Solomon. The earthly Solomon was wise, wiser than any man on the earth. And he instructed his people. And again, is that not true of that greater Solomon, who teacheth like him? And what wisdom do his words bring in the heart of his people? And so indeed, what we have before us tonight is the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. And congregation, then we hear not only that opening verse, but also the beginning of verse 2. That is lofty, that is exalted, it is evident. This is divinely inspired. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. And then it begins with, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. So we are speaking about people. There is a conversation going on back and forth, largely in this book. And that is then the greater Solomon as the bridegroom. And that bridegroom has a bride that is the Shulamite, that is the spouse, that is now that spiritual bride. And someone has remarked this is only for pious and sober readers or listeners. This is not for the foolish. This is not for those that have no understanding, because it is such a spiritual book. And then we hear in that entire book of the love of the spiritual bridegroom, Christ, for his spiritual bride, but also how the spiritual bride loves her spiritual bridegroom. And now here then, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. All of a sudden, something bursts forth and comes out of the heart. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Some would say that is even abrupt. Is that not confusing? Is that not improper to do it in this way? Well, who is speaking? It is, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. So it is about that greater Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the hymn. And then the one who speaks, that is the bride, that is the Shulamite. So here we have the beginning of that conversation, that holy spiritual conversation between Solomon, the greater Solomon, and his bride. And then immediately in those words, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, we hear the heart's desire of the Shulamite. Because what is that? She desires the kisses of the bridegroom. You could ask, is she now longing for the coming of the promised Messiah? In the Old Testament, yes, we can understand it. But in the New Testament also, there is a people that looks for the coming of the Messiah in their hearts. And we may not place that to the side here in the text, but it is really something else that comes to the foreground. Because let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth is a yearning for the spiritual communion between the bridegroom and the bride. Oh, we read it in the New Testament, the fellowship with the Father and of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, that fellowship, that communion, is what the bride here expresses. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. But maybe they're not asked, are there now those tonight or listening along who have such a desire in their heart? And then also that desire with regard to the coming supper of the Lord, that there may be communion, that his favor may be shown, that his love may be tasted, and that his grace may yet strengthen and encourage. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. But the bridegroom does not use the name. She simply says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. What is in her heart comes out. It bursts out, as it were. And you know what that now shows? There is nothing else in her heart. in her thoughts, in her desires, but that bridegroom. None else has found a place at this moment in the heart of that bride, but that heavenly bridegroom, Jesus, the Christ, the only Savior. We read that also in Psalm 45. For my heart is inditing a good matter. And then I speak of the things which I have made concerning the King, that my tongue has become the pen of a ready writer. Are there such people in church? Or are there those who listen along, that you have to say, my heart is inditing a good matter? Perhaps you have never dared to say it. Perhaps it has never been expressed. But deep in your heart, that the Lord has worked such a yearning for him. Oh, then there are times that you say, my meditation of him is sweet. And the longings of my heart are unto him, and unto him alone. Oh, as there was an old, a little rhyme, grant me Jesus or else I die. And that is the place where the Lord brings his people. And why Jesus? That is now a people who is lost. They need Jesus. They need a Savior. Why do they need a surety if they have their guilt and they cannot pay it? Why do they need a redeemer? Because they are in bonds, they are in the prison, and they cannot deliver themselves. That is a people that longs for him. Let him now kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. But we can say, bride, spouse, and Shulamite, do you not know the name of him to whom, about whom you are speaking? Do you not know the name of that greater Solomon? Oh yes, you read it in verse 4, she calls him the king. And later on in that chapter, thou whom my soul lovest, verse 7. And it is in verse 13 that she says, this is my well-beloved. And you read through the remainder of that Song of Solomon, how many precious names, how many dear, tender names does she give unto him. But now at this moment, her heart is so full of him that she breathes forth that fervent affection. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. It is not strange in Scripture. We will mention only one example. In Psalm 87, the poet begins, his foundations are in the holy mountains. Whose foundations? Those were God's foundations, the Lord. But he begins, because he is so full, his foundation is in the holy mountains. But now, why is there such a desire? For that is the first thought. Why does the bride now say, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth? She is the one that speaks first in this book. Must we then conclude that his love begins with the bride? Oh, then you are ahead of me, are you not? Because the bride also was a daughter of Adam, a fallen, sinful creature, yes. And that bride also had said farewell unto God. So it is not the bride that loves the Lord first. It is exactly the other way around, as John the Apostle has said. We love him because he first loved us. And he is the one that has loved this church from all eternity. For I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with cords of love have I drawn thee. But what is now the fruit of that one-sided love of God in the heart of such a chosen sinner? That is clear. Because then he sheds abroad his love by the Spirit that is given in the heart. Because when he has loved her from all eternity, oh, then he also draws her with cords of love and with bands of a man. In other words, that love that is shed abroad in the heart returns unto the Lord. It is reciprocal love. And then it is clear, is it not, that when the bride says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, that she is not a stranger of the bridegroom. She is acquainted with him. She knew him. She had heard his voice in the past. She had met with him. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. She could testify who he was. She could testify what his voice sounded like. My sheep know my voice. She could testify he is white and he is ruddy and he is the chiefest above 10,000. And you can find dozens of proofs in this book of the Song of Solomon that she knew who that bridegroom was. In short, she knew how precious he was, how worthy to be loved and to be feared, that he was suitable, that he was all-sufficient, that he was so amiable, that he was that willing, that gracious, that precious Savior. Do you know that also? For also in regard to the Lord's Supper, it is to do it in remembrance of him. And if we have no knowledge of him experimentally, oh, then you can sit at the table. But then you have bread and you have wine and you have no more. Oh, and then we must fear that we eat and drink a judgment to ourselves. So this bride was greatly privileged, you say. It is true. But how is it now? How is it at this very time that she is expressing this wish? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. You know how it was with her. I long as in the days of old, thy power and grace to behold within thy holy house, within thy holy place. There is a people on earth, and they cannot maintain life in their own hands. They cannot believe when they desire. They cannot hope when they think it is so necessary. They cannot bring that love into exercise. There is a people that find out more and more how dependent they are on the grace of God. What did Paul say? That by grace ye are saved through faith, not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God. And if you now have to live from the gifts, that will have to mean that you have to end up as a beggar. An empty beggar time and again. You say, but what is now the reason that this bride was missing it? Oh, God's people sometimes become worldly. At times they become so slothful. At times they find out how barren they are. And the more barren they seem to become, people that go back in their life and they say, oh, I thought at that time it was the case that the Lord had made a beginning. And now I have to question all these things. You see, congregation, there is a people that are not so tender anymore. There are a people that cannot listen with a broken heart and with a contrite spirit anymore. There is a people that cannot pray anymore with those early lively yearnings unto God. And now this people, the bride here in the text, knew what grace was because she had tasted that grace of that bridegroom. But while she was missing it, the remembrance of that taste was there. But she was missing it in the exercise at that moment. And the Lord caused her to realize that she was missing. That she was missing. Ah, congregation, and then you hear it. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Where do you end up by renewal? Is there no one who can say it? Poor and needy, afflicted and empty. Oh, then you end up in your misery. You end up in your poverty time and again. Guilty, you have to say. Lord, I am so guilty. It is not the Lord's fault. But of course, the guilt always lies on our side. And yet on the bottom of their heart, what is it now? Whom have I, Lord, in heaven but thee? And to whom my thoughts aspire? And having thee on earth is naught that I can yet desire. Oh, let him now kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. You see, that is now the reason why this bride desires. She has had it before and tasted it before. And she needs it again because she has lost it. She misses it at this moment. And so we come to the second thought. What is it now that the bride desires? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Him. And who is he? Oh, there is none on earth that can be compared unto him. There is none on earth that can ever satisfy my soul. There is none who has that matchless love but Jesus Christ, that greater bridegroom. Yes. But the bride says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And that me, oh, that must be discovered again and again. But the Lord says unto those people, that they have played the harlot with many lovers. And that is true, and the Lord converts his people. And they come to see that they have departed from him and never sought after God. And they find out to their grief that later on they go back to those many lovers and still play the harlot. And if we now have sinned against that law of God, that is awful and bitter. But if now the love of God and the grace of God has sought us, and then we depart, and then we play the harlot with many lovers, oh, that becomes so exceedingly bitter. You could ask Simon Peter, yes, because that is exactly what he had done. I know not the man. I know not the man. And he began to curse. Oh, congregation, we do not stand above Peter. We may not. But that example is also given in Scripture for a people that is not a hair better, that has to say, I can see Peter going out and weeping bitterly, and even that of myself I miss altogether. But you know what the Lord says then in Jeremiah 3. He does not only say that they have played the harlot with many lovers. He says, yet return unto me. Now, there you have that him and that me. Because let him kiss me, that is the one, return unto me. And let him kiss me, that is that unworthy one. The one that has forfeited everything. Here you have now two parties, so unequal, so far apart by that breach that sin makes. And then he, that bridegroom, is so pure, so holy, so faithful, and so true. And what do we have to say about ourselves, children of God? Unfaithful, unholy, unrighteous, one that has gone a wandering away and a whoring away, playing the harlot with these many lovers, guilty, guilty, and again guilty. And still, where the Lord has shed abroad his love, many waters cannot quench that love. And at God's time, with God's means, and with God's desire, oh, then he comes back. And those sparks, those glowing embers, perhaps at best, covered by the ashes, you cannot see anything of it anymore, he begins to stir it up, so that it begins to be fanned into a flame again. Because there is still that love given in the heart towards him. And when he gives more of his love, you hear it? When he gives more of his love by that oil of the Spirit, oh, then that love begins to burn once again. That was just like with those men on the way to Emmaus. They said, we hoped that he was the Savior, and it was gone. And the Savior was walking with them and instructed them, reproved them, and taught them. And was not our heart burning within us? And so it happens. And so it happened also in the life of this bride, because she was in a poor, low condition, and now the Lord has come to stir it up, and she can think about no one else but her bridegroom, and she desires to have him again. She desires that he will return. She desires, and she says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Congregation, that is now a bride that has forfeited everything, yes. And what does it now mean when she says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth? What does it mean if the Savior now kisses his bride? Then he shows unto her, and he causes her to feel that he loves her, that he cares for her, and that he is faithful unto her. Oh, then she can experience by renewal that he is so good, that his love is so fervent, and that he never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Unfailing love. And what does then mean? If now the bride is given to kiss the bridegroom, because that follows upon it, oh yes. You know what that means, congregation? Then by faith, that sincere faith, and by that fervent love, and also by that childlike fear, there is a desire to acknowledge the Lord as my master as my Lord, as my protector, as my provider, as my Savior, as my bridegroom. Oh, congregation, then I submit. And then I obey. Then I desire to yield unto Him. Then I desire to express my love in any way possible. Oh, then you read it in Psalm 2. Then there is a kissing of the Son. And now the bride first says, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. That is first. But whenever that comes in the life of His people, there shall also come that other part, that I will kiss Him with the kisses of my mouth. Here, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. The Bible speaks about false kisses. Think that Judas kissed the Savior to show whom the soldiers had to take and bind. There can also be those treacherous kisses, for that happened also in the case of Judas. And then you cannot trust it. As Solomon says, the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. We can have adulterous kisses, as Samson and Delilah did. We can have superficial kisses that really mean nothing, congregation. No, such kisses are not meant here by the text, not at all. But the kisses that the bride desires are the tokens of pure and faithful love, the tokens of friendship, the tokens also of reconciliation and of peace. It is the token of forgiveness and a pledging of faithfulness, of a promise to be faithful in the future. And the Bible shows it when that prodigal son arose and went back to his father. And then he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, no longer worthy to be a son. And the father embraced him and kissed him. Now then it was made well. It was reconciled. There was peace. There was communion restored again. When Jacob met Esau, that was not spiritual, but there was a reconciliation and they kissed one another. You also read when Jacob comes and meets with Joseph, then they wept and they kissed a long time. Then that union and communion was restored. And when Isaac is going to send away Jacob to Paddan Aram, we read that he kissed him and he blessed them, blessed him. So those two things go together in the Bible. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. What does that now all contain, congregation? Because it is in the plural. It is not a single kiss. There is a people that desire, Lord, one kiss. That would be a great wonder. You know the history of Reverend Ledeboer. By an inheritance, he had received some farms and some areas, some fields. And he went out with an elder to go and look at it once. And then Reverend Ledeboer said, oh, for one kiss from the mouth of Jesus, I would trade all this. But here the bride speaks about the kisses. Let him kiss me with the kisses in the plural. That shows the riches of the manifold graces and the multitude of benefits that the Savior, that the bridegroom has for his bride. Is it not true in daily life? When the husband and the wife come together as bridegroom and bride, then they share. then it belongs, then it is. Everything that he has is for her protection, for her care, and for her sustenance. And so it is now here. When the kisses of the mouth of Jesus come unto the bride, oh, then it is a testimony of his grace for her. A testimony that he gives her glory. Then it is a pledge that he will take care of her for time and for eternity. Oh, then he shows his loving kindness. Then he shows that he never forsaketh the works of his own hand. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Of his mouth. That also has something to tell us. Because we read it in Psalm 45. That grace is poured out into his lips. And so when then that bridegroom kisses, the love is expressed thereby. But with that mouth, he also speaks. And that is especially what is in view here now. Because he speaks by his word and through his spirit. He speaks often also in the preaching of the gospel. The apostle Peter said, thou hast the words of eternal life. Oh, when you hear that word, behold, it is I, behold, it is I. That is a kiss from his mouth. If you hear something that he has spoken unto you, oh, then he will speak a word in due season to him that is weary. I strengthen thee and I behold thee. I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. I have all power in heaven and upon the earth. Oh, I am with thee. Oh, and I will never depart from thee. Congregation, then it is a kiss from his mouth. And can he now do that also with regard to the Lord's Supper? Oh, most certainly. What did he say to his disciples? Come and dine at the Sea of Tiberias. What did Ruth hear from the mouth of Boaz? Come hither at mealtime. And there she was administered by him. Oh, then he says, come and all things are ready. My body is meat indeed. And my blood is flesh indeed. Oh, then it is just like we had it the other day in chapter 5. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. That is a kiss. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. That is a kiss. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. That is a kiss. I have drunk my wine with my milk. That is a kiss. Eat, O friends. Drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. When that great sinner, that sinful woman, was drawn to the feet of the Savior, as he was at meat there with Simon the leper, then she came to his feet and she did not dare to go any further, but she wept her soul empty and she washed his feet. And with her long hair she dried those feet and then she anointed him, but she kissed those feet. Oh, that showed the love. And that love from the Savior had come in her heart and now that was returned. And what did the Savior now say? Thy sins are forgiven thee. That was a sweet kiss. And then he said later on, yet go in peace. Thy faith hath saved thee. Another kiss. Oh, congregation, then he says, come and eat of my bread. And drink of my wine that I have mingled. That is a kiss for a people whom he desires to come to the table. Shall we sing?